welcome to Ray and Tay Today. It's Friday. Woo! Come on.
Okay, we got a little funky beat going there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hello, and welcome to the show. This is Ray and Tay Today, like Tay said. And I'm Ray. That's Paul Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, hyped up. You know, we've been away for a couple of days, so it's good to be back. We miss you, and hopefully you miss us. And thank you for listening to Ray and Tay Today. Want to join the adventure? Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, you can email us, which we truly appreciate, at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website at rayandtaytoday.com. And always, the social media. We are interactive. Twitter and Facebook, it's RAEANDTAYTODAY, Ray and Tay Today. Ray, let them know, man. We got a nice little quick show, but let them know how we're breaking it down.
Yeah, we got a quick show, but a heavy-hitting show. So we're going to jump right into it. We're going to go around the world of sports. We're going to look at what's happening at the WGC Bridgestone, where Tiger is putting on a show, a one-man show. We're going to walk through the NFL. We've got the whole Riley Cooper situation in Philly, which is becoming more and more of a mess. We got the Hall of Fame class coming up this weekend.
Ooh.
What a great Hall of Fame class that is.
Amazing.
Talk about that. We'll talk about some quick news in the NBA. And then we'll get into Major League Baseball. We've got some baseball about to drop the hammer on quite a few players. And then we'll end on a nice note, on a happy note. We are bringing back our segment, Top 5 Fridays. So it's Friday, and we're going to get into a Top 5 segment. And our Top 5 this week is Major League Baseball third baseman. So think about that. Start to rank your Top 5 third baseman of all time, and we'll give you ours, and we'll tell you about one or two people that maybe didn't crack the list, or one guy in particular that has his eyes squarely on the number one third baseman of all time. But, without further ado, let's get into it.
Well, listen, you topped it off. You said it. El Tigre, also known as Tiger Woods, today shoots -9, shot a 61. Incredible. And is negative 13. He is, what, 7 shots ahead of second place.
Yeah,
Keenan Bradley
and Chris Wood.
That's incredible. Yeah, and Chris Wood is right there. But that blows me away, you know. And then -5 is Bill Haas. So, you know, we see we got some guys there. But one thing that I think is interesting, just like Phil Mickelson won the British Open the week before he won the Scottish Open. So maybe Tiger wins Firestone, which he's already won about 5 times. If he wins this event going into the PGA, the final major, maybe it prepares him and he gets warm, or not warm, he gets and stays hot to finally win a major. But, you know, he's number one in the world, and this would be his 5th victory this year. He just got no majors. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
We got a caller. Somebody's jumping in on it. Wants to talk some sports with friends. So let's see what we got. Hello, caller. You're on with Ray and Tay Today. Where are you calling from?
Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, welcome.
How are you fruitcakes doing today?
What's going on?
What's going on, man? Is this Nick?
Yeah. How you guys doing?
What's up, Nick? How's it going, man? What do you want to talk about, buddy?
Oh, I was wanting to know what you guys thought of that Jennings trade for Brandon Knight and for Brandon Jennings for the Pistons. That makes them a little bit more of a contender, doesn't it?
Well,
yeah, absolutely.
I'll jump. Yeah, I think.
Go ahead. You go ahead because you know what I think. But
No. I'm going to tell you. Listen, Nick. Your boy Ray here is a Joe Dumars. He's a little bit of a hater, and he's going to have to send him an I'm sorry letter. I think the Pistons have improved. We're going to talk about that. We were going to talk about it, but let's talk about it now. And I think the trade was good. Obviously, you know, there's been a lot of free agent signings. I think Drummond and Greg Monroe will both be vastly improved. Signing of Josh Smith, bringing in the veteran Chauncey Billups, and then now trading Brandon Knight, who will start in Milwaukee, for Brandon Jennings, who will start in Detroit. I think it's a good look. I like the draft of Kartavious Caldwell-Pope, Tony Mitchell, and Peyton Siva. And I think overall the Pistons are on the way up, could probably finish 6th, 7th, or 8th in the Eastern Conference this year. That's just how I feel about the Pistons. They're definitely going to be.
Do you have a stake in the game? Do you like any of these teams? Do you like the Pistons or the Bucks?
Oh, Pistons are they're my team, man.
Yeah, he's a Detroit Piston and Lion guy.
Detroit Lion guy.
Okay, well, here's my take on it real quick. I think Joe Dumars has gotten a pass for a long time because he won that championship in 04 and they lost in 7 in 05 to the San Antonio Spurs. Arguably could have won that one and would have had back-to-backs on a team built around just 5 guys, you know, or maybe 7 or 8 guys, right? No stars. Chauncey Billups and Rip Hamilton in the backcourt and, you know, Corliss Williamson and the, you know, Rasheed Wallace and Weber up front, all those guys. But my thing is, you know, for the past at least 6 or 7 moves, he hasn't been 6 or 7 years. He hasn't been having very good years as a GM, right? So if you want to rank him, his status has gone down and down and down. So to me, he's putting all of his eggs in a basket with great draft of Greg Monroe, love it. Drummond is TBD, but hopefully the talent, you know, he came out as a freshman. But his two best players are knuckleheads. And so, you know, when you add Brandon Jennings and Josh Smith on the team, and they're your two best players, I mean, you hope that Greg Monroe maybe takes over, but he's more of a soft-spoken guy. So to me, that's dangerous. I mean, that could be great, or it could just completely blow up. And I am less confident than Tay is about the Pistons.
He doesn't have the faith.
Those guys
doesn't have the faith, Nick.
One thing you got to remember, Ray, is on that deal with Joe Dumars, okay, is the Davisons, Bill Davison died, and the wife took the team over. Well, then they were in a franchise move where she was trying to sell the team forever. So his hands were kind of tied. And when he did that Villanueva trade and who's the other guy?
And Gordon.
Ben Gordon.
You know, he was doing anything in the world to try to make that team better at that time because that's the only money he had. So I'm not real excited. I wasn't real excited about that, but he was either had to spend it or he was going to lose it and they were just going to be awful anyway. So Karen Davison, she put up handcuffs on Joe Dumars for the longest time. So I got to, you know, give him a little bit of a break there. You know, now the Chauncey Billups trade for the, you know, the deal where they brought in, the Philadelphia guy.
Jerry Stack.
Playing over in Europe now. Broke. Allen Iverson.
Iverson, right, of course.
Yeah, Iverson, when they made that trade, I don't agree with that whatsoever because Billups, you know, I'm glad he's back, believe me. But, you know, I don't know how they're all going to mesh together. You know, I think they're solid at the Monroe and Drummond. I think Drummond's, you know, being young as he is, he's a beast already. I mean, I don't know if you guys got to watch that summer league at all, but, man, he was tearing up.
Yeah,
Tay is watching Summer League every day. He's the resident Ray and Tay scout. I just hope for Dumars' sake that, look, the good thing is, he has that title and he went the next year. I just hope that I look back and I say to myself, oh, my God, he probably still doesn't sleep well at night because if you think about that draft in 03 when you had LeBron go number one and then the next pick in the draft was Darko and that's who Joe Dumars took. And
oh,
then
yeah.
the following picks, you know, were number three was Carmelo, and then number four was Chris Bosh, and then number five was Dwayne Wade. So he's thinking to himself, oh, my God, I had an anchor piece of my team, and I whiffed on that draft. And then, like you said, I guess fair points about having your hands tied, but his free agent moves haven't been great either for the last at least 7 or 8 years. So, look, I wish him the best. I loved him as a player, and I thought he got off to a great start as a GM. And you know what? I hope that one of these two, Josh Smith or Brandon Jennings, develops into a leader and really, you know, puts their past kind of knucklehead behavior on the side and really starts to, you know, let Detroit anchor around that team because, gosh, Detroit needs something, right? The city's bankrupt. They owe $20 billion. So, you know, if the Pistons are good and the Lions are good and, you know, the Red Wings are always good, so that'd be great for the city, right? I'm definitely rooting for it. I'm just less confident. Tay's more confident than I am, but I hope. I'm rooting for the Pistons. I want them to be back.
They're a playoff
team.
Well,
I'm just hoping Mo Cheeks can bring them guys all in together, too.
Hey,
you
got a great coach. Mo Cheeks, you know, I grew up a Sixers fan. Ray and I both were big Knicks Sixer fans. Mo Cheeks is one of the most underrated pure point guards in NBA history.
And if you remember right, guys, when Chauncey Billups came into there, you know, they brought him in and they developed him kind of like what Brandon Jennings is a little bit. He was a little bit, you know, shoot first, you know, they brought him in to be a guard. So hopefully they can, you know, with Chauncey Billups coming from Milwaukee, like Brandon Jennings has, you know, maybe they got a little bit of history together, you know, there where, you know, they kind of follow the same footsteps. And hopefully, you know, Chauncey can, you know, groom him along to, you know, be the same type of player. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's got court vision. He's got the skills. There's no doubt about that.
Talent. Yep.
And
that's one
of the reasons why they made that trade is because they, you know, Brandon Knight he didn't have the vision on the court. Now that vision could, you know, come, you know, in 2 to 3 years, but they didn't have time to do that. And you're right, Dumars knows he's on the hot seat because that new owner is, you know, he wants to win now and put butts in the seats.
There you go. Hey, you can't argue with that. And you know what, Nick? I mean, we're going to, you know, get into some other stuff, but I just want to thank you for calling. But I want you to call in September, man, or right before, because I know you're a big fantasy guy. You're looking to get in with your Lions and Megatron and Stafford. And September 4th, we're going to have our football preview show. And, Ray, you know, Nick is going to be talking a lot of smack at our Ray and Tay Today first annual fantasy football league.
You know what?
So,
We'll put you on the spot. Give us an over-under for your Lions. What are you looking at for your Lions this year?
I think they get 10 wins.
Okay.
Woo! 10 wins,
that puts you at the wild card?
Like
it is?
So you have no faith in Adrian Peterson and the Vikings and no faith in the Bears and Jay Cutler and Trestman.
I think that whole division is a crapshoot. There's no doubt about it. I don't think Ponder's got the arm to get him through. And, you know, Green Bay losing all them defensive players, man, they got a lot of holes to fill. Now, their offense is going to be able to score no matter what. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, that defense, now they got a lot of holes there that they lost. It's going to be hard to come back with that. Now, the Detroit, on the other hand, you know they're going to be able to score with Reggie Bush in the backfield now and taking that pressure off Kelvin Johnson where they're not going to be able to triple team him any longer. So he might be a number one draft pick for you guys when you guys think about fantasy.
Oh, man, that's great. We'll see.
And, man,
we'll
their
see.
Defense, their defense's secondary is, you know, so much better than it has been in years prior. That defensive line, the only place I can see that they're weak, you know, the Detroit
linebacker.
Lions are going to be kind of weak is going to be at linebacker. And, you know, they got the middle. They got Tulloch in the middle, which is, you know, he's a stud. You know, the outsides is where it's going to come from because that defensive line is going to get after them. you know, with that signing from that Chicago, that I don't even know how
to pronounce
it.
Yeah, Adonijé. And I think if Nick Fairley steps up, you're right. That could be a big difference for you guys. Well, you know, we'll see. We will definitely see.
And last year, you guys, you'll remember something. Last year, you know, when they didn't have that secondary, you know, those quarterbacks, you know, they were getting after the quarterback, but it was 1-2 throw because those wide receivers are wide open. Now it's going to be 3-4-5. Those defensive linemen are going to be able to get after that quarterback a little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah, look, it's
I'll
exciting in Detroit. I look for that. That division's become brutal. You're right, though, but each team has a fundamental flaw, but they're all very exciting teams. And you could argue, you know, the Packers probably are still the class of that division to some degree, but everybody else is right there. And so
it's going to be tight.
NFC North, great division.
I think it's going to be end of the game. I mean, they're not going to be blowouts, I don't think. You know, I mean, it's going to be, you know, like last year. You know, even though the Lions were 4-12, I believe, they only lost like 5 or 6 games by like, you know, 3 points.
No, you're right. Listen, the whole NFC is loaded, and it's great, and we're excited. Ray and Tay will be talking about it, Nick, so thanks
you
for calling.
You guys are going to be itching your head when you guys are fantasy drafting, I'll tell you that, boys.
I can't wait. Can't wait, Nick.
Hey, one more comment, and I'm gonna hang up. Hey.
All right.
Taylor, change that voicemail. You sound like a thug, man.
Oh, he's killing you. He's killing you on the voicemail.
Oh, God. This guy's too much. Thanks for calling, man. Take care. So, listen, Nick took us through basketball. Obviously, you know, there's Greg Oden, who's supposed to be deciding today. The Knicks are talking to my guy, who I said you're not ready for during the last NBA season, Gennaro Parker. We'll see what happens. And, you know, we talked about the trades. But then in football, Ray, what I think that he's talking about is true. That defense, I mean, that division, the NFC West and the AFC North are probably the three best divisions in football. And then the NFC East is also a crapshoot to who could win it. But you look at these injuries, right? And we'll get to Riley Cooper in a second. But when you look at these injuries, even let's say the Niners, right? Chris Culliver out for the season. Percy Harvin is probably be back Thanksgiving, you know, in the NFC West. The Patriots, you know, with what's been going on with Gronk and Hernandez and, you know, who wrote his little heartfelt letter or whatever that got leaked to the media or maybe it was planted, who knows. I think that there's a lot going on in training camps with injuries and battles. When you see a Culliver go down, you know, for the Niners at corner, obviously Patrick Willis just fractured his hand. I guess there's nothing the NFL can do. Do you ever think that they'll get to, let's say, the 18 games, right? They just changed the Pro Bowl around. But do you think that they'll ever get to the 18 games and cut down on preseason and they've already changed the practices, or have they gotten too soft and you think guys aren't in the proper shape with all these injuries we're seeing?
I think the latter. I think that the guys are not in game shape. And, look, some are freak accidents and
right,
step
right
on something or you trip or whatever. But there's something to be said for getting in game shape in 4 weeks of training camp. And I think the formula of 16-4 is more than enough. I mean, if you start to go to 18 games, look, there's a lot of money at stake. So I get it from the owner's perspective. But you're running
the guys could survive
down.
It.
How many guys can play 16 games at full strength? Oh, and by the way, you don't want to use performance-enhancing drugs, right? You want it to just be all natural.
How do these guys come back from injury from week to week?
Oh, and by the way, you have games on Thursday, not just Thanksgiving. You have 15 Thursday games. So sometimes these guys are playing, let's say you play late on a Sunday and then late on a Thursday, that's only 4 days. The body, you know, the body can barely
and only three and 3 of those days they're living in ice, these guys already. It's a brutal game. And with the athletes getting bigger, better, stronger, and much faster, it's really harder to heal. I mean, listen, they're amazing athletes, but they also go through amazing collisions and pain. And if we're trying to, you know, heal the game and Goodell is trying to protect these guys, there's no way they can go to 18 games. No way. I just
agree.
Don't think it would be safe. So, look, we got all the controversy. You've got everybody and their mother chiming in on Riley Cooper. I'll say this first, right? I believe that he had a heartfelt apology. I think, you know, obviously alcohol took place. You know, he called the security guard the N-word. You know, it was a horrible racial slur. He said he's never used it before. I think the issue is most NFL locker rooms are at the point where they're about 65-70% African-American. But I think one thing that you find in the locker rooms, guys put everything at the door. And when they get into the locker room, they are 53 united like brothers. And they might hang out and party separately afterwards, but when they're in there, you know, and I heard Michael Irvin say it best, he was like, you know, you don't – the racial lines get blurred. Like, you don't see race in the locker room. And I think when you have a brother or someone that you've been a teammate with for 3 or 4 years, Riley Cooper's going into his fourth season, he's the number three receiver, might have been number two this year if he still comes back to the team. You know, it just came out today that he's, you know, basically been put on like a leave of absence and is going to go into some counseling, which almost sounds like basically, why don't you just say, hey, you suspended him, even though it's not really a suspension, but it kind of is. He was fined an undisclosed amount. I just don't know, if I'm being honest, if the team and a first-year coach can come back from this or handle such a heavy distraction that he's going to make it. If he makes it, it's because, you know, the leaders like Vic and other guys have already come out and supported him. But then you got LeSean McCoy, who's like, I feel like I lost a friend. It's a sensitive issue, and it's hard. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, but right now he's
yeah,
not with
you're
the
right.
team. So
you're right. Look, we won't spend too much time more on it.
Yeah.
I think it's well said. The only thing is that this is a team coming off of last year's horrible season, losing the coach and all the controversy. So this is the last thing that they need,
yeah.
the Eagles, in terms of bouncing back. But speaking of football, let's keep it in football real quick as we move along. Abbreviated
Hall
show.
Of
Hall
Fame.
Of Fame. What a class, right? You got Jonathan Ogden, Larry Allen, Warren Sapp, the big boys. You got
yeah.
Chris Carter. All he does is catch touchdowns, but he catches a lot more than touchdowns, over 1,000 receptions. You got the
yeah.
two veterans, Curly Culp and Dave Robinson, and then you got the tuna, Bill Parcells. So what a great representation. You got offensive, defensive line, a receiver, two veterans, defense, and then you've got a coach. So real quick, what are you looking for this weekend?
I want to see, you know, I'm interested to see the tuna speech. I think Bill Parcells, he's like Bill Walsh and some of these other great coaches, where his coaching tree is incredible with Belichick, you know, Sean Payton, Tom Coughlin. You know, they're all great, you know, three of the best coaches in the game now. So I'm excited to see Parcells for that. You know, obviously a big fan of his with the Giants, you know, Jets, his little stint with the, you know, Pats and Cowboys. He's won everywhere and made the team better, you know, since, you know, when he leaves it. I think emotionally, I think it's going to be great to see Warren Sapp and Chris Carter. Just seeing a little bit of Chris Carter talking today, it was overwhelming, because I think the one thing that he said that people in all walks of life have got to remember, in your darkest hour, if you've made mistakes or poor choices and people want to write you off, that is not the, you know, the final chapter of your life. You can turn it around. You can hit reverse on a car and start every day to make your life a little bit better. And I think as a man, that's what he did and became this Hall of Famer. And, you know, he said, I'm going to thank the people that helped me in my darkest hour, because without them, I wouldn't be where I am. And that's going to be great. Warren Sapp, of course, you always love to hear from the old veterans, Robinson and Cope, and the big linemen, man. I love big linemen, always give you great insight. So I'm just excited for all the speeches. And it's a legendary class, actually.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. Well, let's move on. Let's go to baseball.
Oof.
So it looks like Major League Baseball has more evidence than they were leading us to believe early on, because they're taking these people into the room and basically saying, hey, guys, we got a lot of evidence on, you know, on this biogenics. So why don't you guys just take a deal and don't say anything and, you know, be suspended and not make a big deal of it. So it's like all of these people are getting called to the principal's office to talk about
mm-hmm.
detention. The one person they say that's fighting back is A-Rod. Apparently, well, look, he's probably wealthy enough that he's got a whole cadre of lawyers, and he can push back and fight back.
He'll give in eventually, I think. I do. I think it'll be for A-Rod. He doesn't want the lifetime ban, and I don't think Major League Baseball wants to be in court for the next 2 years. I think they're going to settle somewhere between 150 and 200 games, probably 150, and I think he'll still get some money of his, you know, $100 million left, and you know, it'll be what it'll be. But at the end of the day, I don't feel sorry for anybody. For the guys who cheated, they're wrong, and for baseball, for sort of turning their eye this whole time, I think they're wrong. So they're getting the mess that they sort of allowed to happen and pretty much, you could say, kind of deserve. You know, that's just how I see it.
All right. Well, look, what position does A-Rod play?
A-Rod, when he plays at, what, single-A ball tonight in Trenton, A-Rod is a third baseman, which means it's time for the Ray and Tay segment of the top third baseman of all time, the top five Fridays. Ray, why don't you – let's talk about the honorable mention first, because, like, we sort of have agreed on our five. – I think when we look at the outside, though, we've got two guys who are on the outside. One who is a Red Sox, a Ray and a Yankee, and Wade Boggs. And the other, and someone who is on the come up. And now you could debate A-Rod, but also we're talking about Cabrera. So, I don't know. Tell the listeners what you think about Cabrera and how he could place in his top five if he could be number one. And then we'll get into, you know, five and on down.
So first thing going for Cabrera is that he's 30 years old. So this guy, especially if he stays in the American League, might have 10 more years to be able to put up numbers. And if he can – look, he doesn't use speed, so it's not like his speed is going to get any worse in the next 10 years. I mean, he's dealing with some nagging injuries right now, and hopefully his hip injury that he's dealing with isn't that big a deal. But – the guy's a 321 lifetime hitter, and he already has 353 homers and 1,200 RBIs at the age of 30. And by the way, he won the Triple Crown last year and is in contention to win another Triple Crown this year. He might not. Chris Davis
right,
getting all those home runs.
Definitely
but,
could get
but, I mean,
another MVP.
The guy
MVP.
Puts up numbers. Anytime you lead in all three statistical categories, that means that you're the type of hitter, which Wade Boggs isn't, right, because Wade Boggs didn't have the power that Miguel Cabrera has. But the guy is unbelievable. And you know what? He elected to play third, right? Because when he came over to Detroit, they put him over at first, and they said, you know, ride out into the sunset, basically playing first base in the American League. And then they got Prince Fielder, and he said, no, I'm okay. I'll go back to third. And he's a big guy playing third base. So I don't know how many more years he'll play third, but to the extent that the guy for the majority of his career has been a third baseman, Miguel Cabrera is going to find himself on that list. He won't have the 16 gold gloves that Brooks Robinson has, or even that a guy like Mike Schmidt has with his 10 gold gloves. We'll talk about these guys in a sec and where we rank them. But Miguel Cabrera, just by the virtue of he might be the best right-handed hitter. I mean, he might have taken the torch from Manny Ramirez, and he might just be the best right-handed hitter of a generation or two. So this guy is going to place in the top five, and he might go as high as, you know, 3, 2, or 1, depending on how long his career goes, how many games he plays at third, and how healthy he can stay. So Miguel Cabrera is the real deal.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And just, you know, real quick, as we get ready to get into the list, I got to say, to me, Wade Boggs, definitely an honorable mention, 18-year career. He's the number 35th hitter in terms of average all time, 328 career. That's incredible. I mean, Wade Boggs is definitely, I mean,
well,
you know, obviously.
He won 2 gold gloves himself.
Yeah, no, he had a nice glove, but definitely I think the hitting, he hit better, you know, at home in Fenway Park, but still a great hitter and a clutch hitter. You know what I mean? I mean, I think to me that's something that I would definitely say that he was one of the all-time clutch hitters, you know.
All right, well, let's kick it off. Number 5.
Well, I would say number five for me has got to be Brooks Robinson. You know, I think, you know, we talked about Brooks. You know, we said him and Eddie Matthews are right there at each other. Brooks, I mean, obviously from, you know, the Gold Glove, 16 consecutive, going from 55 to 71, 77. He is, you know, a Baltimore Oreo. I think everyone knows Brooks Robinson's glove. But to me, you know, one thing about Brooks Robinson, you know, it was 1964 MVP. You know, he had a
World
decent
series. He was an 18-time All-Star.
But he had that year, though. I mean, he had, you know, it wasn't great, right? 28 homers, 118 RBIs. But back then, it was, you know, pretty impressive. I think to me, Brooks is definitely, you know, I comfortably say he's one of the best third basemen. And when you look at all the highlights, and most of it is defense, you know. So, what do you think about Eddie at number four?
Yeah, I think Eddie Matthews at number four. The guy's a 12-time All-Star. He won two World Series in 57 and 68. The guy hit 512 homers. He only hit 271, but he had 512 homers, over 1,453 runs. So if you don't know about Eddie Matthews, go back to those old tapes and check out your boy. You know,
from
some 52 people have
to 61,
have him as ranked as high as two or three, but I think the number four third baseman of all time is quite, you know, is quite impressive. So I like Eddie Matthews. You know, an era before the live ball era, so he could have had even more.
Yeah, and he played with a couple of teams. So that first part when I said it was the 68 was with the Boston, Milwaukee, Atlanta Braves. Then he played with the Tigers, you know, up to 68. So he, you know, had a little run with the Houston Astros as well. So definitely Google him and see the power. Eddie Matthews had, you know, the power. So then number three, our boy, I call him Chipper, but what do you call him?
I call him Lawrence. I call him by the name that his mama gave him. Lawrence Jones. Lawrence Chipper Jones. The only switch hitter on our list. 303 career average. 936 on-base plus slugging. 468 homers. Very impressive. 1,623 RBI. So he was an 8-time All-Star. He won the MVP in 99 and had one World Series, though those Braves got to the World
Series.
Should have
won more.
Two more times and lost both times to the Yankees. Chipper Jones.
Like that season, though, Ray, that MVP season was definitely incredible. 45 homers, 119 ribbies. I mean, Chipper was, you know, Chipper was impressive.
Yeah, Lawrence is the real deal. So, all right. So
also a clutch playoff hitter. We got to give him that, too. Very, very clutch, you know, playoff hitter for many years. Number two, I got to call him George, Mr. Kansas City Royal, Brett.
Pintar.
George Brett.
Oh, sorry.
Pintar, definitely. But look, 1973. Don't go there with my man, George Brett. 1973 to 93, a 20-year career. Remember, George Brett was the closest to, you know, getting to Ted Williams and batting, you know, over 400. Batted, .391?
I think he ended up being like 380-something. Yeah, he's unbelievable. I mean, he's a 13-time All-Star. He won the MVP in 85. He won the World Series in 85. He only won one Gold Glove. But the guy's a 305 hitter, has almost
1,500
RBI.
1,600 ribbies, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's the real deal. And the interesting stat, so obviously we both have the same number one. But first of all, playing all of his career with one team is very impressive with George Brett. And
definitely.
You know what? The fact that he just epitomized a franchise. I mean, that was
he had a 390. That's what it was. Yeah.
390, okay.
Yeah.
So George Brett was the real deal. And number one, we both agree, is Mike Schmidt. Now, I'll give you a tidbit on George Brett and Mike Schmidt before we get into Mike Schmidt.
Definitely. But they call him Michael Jack Schmidt.
Yes. Think about this. They were drafted, George Brett and Mike Schmidt, back-to-back in the 1971 draft. How crazy is that? That the two guys are forever linked, one in the AL, one in the NL, and they are forever linked with being, you know, taken in the draft back to back, and they're 1-2, third baseman of all time, in our opinion.
Do you really think Cabrera could get up there with the two of them, though? That's
Cabrera,
I don't know if he has a glove. He's got the
right,
bat.
He definitely doesn't have the glove. Mike Schmidt won 10 gold gloves. So we'll get into Mike Schmidt. Mike Schmidt won 10 gold gloves. He only hit .267, struck out a ton. He had 548 home runs, again, before this era where balls are just jumping off the bat. Again, 1,595, so one RBI less than George Brett.
Right, and those were pitching parks with all the baseball parks that he, played in. The stadiums were big stadiums back then in the 80s.
Right, those National League stadiums, 70s, especially for Mike Schmidt. So could Miguel Cabrera break in there? You know what? He is more potent of an offensive threat than both of those guys because of the fact that he's a triple crown winner, right? George Brett batted .305, but only, quote-unquote, had 317 home runs. Mike Schmidt has 548 home runs, but only hit .267. So Miguel Cabrera is, a .315.
Right, average and power.
Yeah, Miguel Cabrera is a .321 lifetime hitter. And like I said, at the age of 30, he's got 350 home runs. He's got 1,200 RBIs already.
And don't forget, Schmidt was clutch in the 1980 World Series when the Phillies won, too. And so him and Brett have got the rings. Will Cabrera get the ring?
Possibly. His Tigers team, his Detroit Tiger team.
They're knocking on the door, yeah. And Schmidt also had 3 MVP awards, so.
Yep, he won 3.
Yeah.
And look, Miguel Cabrera could win his back-to-back this year if he keeps going the way he's going. So, Miguel Cabrera has a triple crown, which nobody has. None of these guys on this list have. So, it'll be very hard, right? He's got to have a very outstanding next 7 years to
He needs 7 more? Is that sort of
probably
like the fair? And I guess with A-Rod, right, we talked about this off air, 9 years at third base with the Yankees. We don't know if he'll ever play again. 10 years at shortstop. I just don't know in history how he'll be remembered just as an all-time great player, as, will people just totally forget about A-Rod? I mean, will the sort of, will this era, how do you really, he got, 2 MVPs at third base?
2 MVPs
and a World Series ring.
Yep, a World Series ring, which everybody was dogging him before about, that he couldn't get that. And also, guess what? I mean, the guy has 960 RBI and 302 home runs as a third baseman. So, if he didn't get injured, and who knows what the suspension is all about, if he plays 5 more years or if he plays out his contract at third, he'll have pretty decent numbers. Now, you probably can't put him in as a third baseman because, right, he had even better numbers as a shortstop. But, yeah, we just don't know. This era of the performance-enhancing drugs, we don't know how to look at these players. I think there's no precedent out there. So we're learning, as fans of baseball, what to do here. We're learning on the fly.
Yeah. Well, listen, great show. Obviously, it's a Hall of Fame weekend. Your Cowboys are playing against the Dolphins. We'll see if they can
Romo
do anything.
Might not play.
Yeah. But you know what? One of our buddies that calls in, Hank, he should be excited because I heard Deion Jordan is looking really good in Dolphins training camp. So we'll be back, probably back on Monday. Obviously, we'll, get some more news with football, training camp, preseason will be going. We'll look back at the Hall of Fame. And obviously, hey, we got to shout out the Pirates before we go, Ray. The best record in baseball. That's
Love
great
it.
News. Love
Don't
it.
Pick,
All right. Thanks for listening. And, hey, thanks for talking sports with friends.
Have a great weekend. We're out.
Peace.
Whose fault? Let's play the same game. I love you more. Let's play the same game.